Second Taiwan Special for the week, Wednesday. Systemic poverty. What is systemic poverty? Systemic poverty is something that I've come to understand as an American living in Taiwan. Taiwan's government treats foreigners the way America's government treats black people today. Sometimes they put them out as poster boys. The rest of the time, they beat them down while no one's looking, either really with a stick, literally, or by just ignoring bad habits of society. Now, listen, I don't want, please, if you're a white guy like me who grew up like me, and you're sick and tired of, it's called race baiting. It's when we complain about a problem of the past as if it's still here today. That's not what I'm doing. See, look, slavery was so evil. At the Constitutional Convention, when our Constitution was written, they wanted to end it. But the formerly British-controlled South wouldn't allow slavery to be ended if they were going to have a constitution. So the North got together, put their heads together, conspired, and came up with a plan to keep the country together and that the North would be bigger, knowing that 100 years later, that would end slavery automatically and that the South would be too stupid to figure it out. They did that and it worked. They fought and did it. It was sneaky. They did a sneaky thing to end slavery in the South. 100 years later, Lincoln's president. He didn't know there was a problem, but throughout the war, he began to realize that there was. The South, it was always about slavery. The North, it didn't start that way, but it ended about slavery. 100 years later, the country still has bad habits. That's my point. That's something to see today. They ended slavery. But there was still prejudice. There were still bad habits. We could say bad habits is a simple way of looking at it. That's systemic poverty. Black people got to move to the back of the bus. It's inconvenient. It's difficult. They get to work and they're tired or whatever because they've had to walk farther or something. You know, sit in the back of the bus makes you throw up. Maybe you miss your stop or something. I don't know. You know, just it's not convenient. They're not prime seats. First class is for white people, and they don't pay more for it. The other thing is, you know, the black people were the most people riding the bus in that day on the public transportation system. So their primary customers were being treated as second class customers, which is kind of stupid. Bad habits, civil rights. Well, okay. In the Constitution, they fought one part of the battle. Lincoln fought another part of the battle, gets rid of slavery, preserve the Union, new birth of freedom. All men are created equal. Remember, that's what the Gettysburg Address was about. Martin Luther King came along. Okay, it's not just slavery, but it's prejudice in the law. Okay. Well, now we still got other assumptions. Black people were really, really behind from all that. And that's got to be corrected. Okay, but then after that, there's going to be another thing. Here's the point I want to make about this. Race baiting is when we act like the battles of yesterday are the same as the battles of today. They're not. The battle changes, but the battle always rages. There is always some kind of an injustice happening today. And every day we wake up, we need to ask ourselves all over again, what is the new form of injustice we're looking at today? Now, most of the trouble, I a lot of black friends, when I was in Chicago going to Moody, I'd hear this so often. It's the system, Jesse. It's the system. I would listen, try to understand it. The system. Okay. Talk to me about this. Tell me. I know there's something in this, but I've never seen it. Tell me. And I'd listen to him and I'd try my best to understand it theoretically. And I did my best to agree with it, but I hadn't seen it. I went to Taiwan. Taiwan's government did that to me. And I saw it. And I understand it. And all the Taiwanese around me don't see it happening to me because they don't see what the letters I get in the mail. And they don't see how those letters I get in the mail from the government or whatever, immigration papers or something, they don't see how that affects me because they don't have their hands tied like I do as a foreigner. And foreiners kind of should have their hands tied while they're in another country. You don't want, you know, there's a lot of bad countries out there, countries that disagree, you know, and if you don't have your hands tied, governments can just walk into another country and send in spies and people to mess things up. You got to tie the hands of other foreigners in the country, but you've got to give them justice when you do. And Taiwan doesn't do that, and they don't care because they're a fascist thing. The people in Taiwan's government were appointed by a political party that used politics to make money. They owned assets, like they owned real estate, investments and stuff. It's weird. It's illegal in America, the political party that controlled Taiwan and put the current government people in their government. Okay, so I was there. I dealt with that. I saw it. That's systemic poverty. There's systems and there are systems and there are habits of society. Just the way we normally do things, the way we go about our daily routines, habits that were built up before the law changed, and then the law changed, and the bad thing is no longer the law, but we still have a habit, and then we kick that habit. We stopped doing the habit, but there was another habit that was part of the habit, and we didn't kick that, and that's still around, and that is still making injustice for people. And people have a really, really, really hard time, and when they tell us about it, it sounds like whining. Okay, well, if you listen to the podcast weekly, you know that this past week I started rapping. Yeah. Okay. Rapping is really hard. You do really awesome work and nobody cares and you've got to keep going and improving. And that's why rap artists like Eminem have kind of an attitude. You develop an attitude as a rap artist. Like I'm getting that. I'm understanding that. Anyway, no, I'm not planning to become a rap artist. Vanilla Ice sells real estate. I don't see a long-term career in that for me. Okay. I talked about rap on the podcast weekly. I'm not going to rap about rap here. Systemic poverty is a problem. Now, God, the universe, life can give you problems to make you better. He does that, but that doesn't justify continuing the problem. So we've got to search out and look for bad habits we've got every day that hurt other people, that are unfair to other people. You want to be a good person, you've got to be mindful of what you step on. You might not feel some big horrible thing, but you're stepping on ants. You might not feel anything, but they're crushed. And in society, we step on things all the time that crush other people, and we don't know it. So anyhow, that's systemic poverty. In Taiwan, what they do is you've got the way systemic poverty works in Taiwan is you've got the government controlled by these companies, very, very fascist. A company is a political party, is a company, a profit company, which Taiwan's trying to get rid of, but it's not gone yet. Evil lasts a long time. You know, the evil men do lives after them. The good is often turned with their bones. So let it be with Caesar, Shakespeare. So there's a lot of evil. Taiwanese government had its employees and policy. That's the thing. The politicians don't even make the laws. The politicians appoint the people to make the laws. That's the thing. In America, Congress writes the laws. In Taiwan, it's like the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Treasury write the law and vote on it. It's weird. So in Taiwan, they've got this company / political party that put their people in government. No one votes for. To write the law and enforce the law. And then, of course, they say, well, we don't write the law. That's the legislature. No. You do write the law, and they don't even know their own constitution. It's all sneaky how confusing it is. And then that company takes secret bribe money from other big companies in every industry. English schools, ESL schools, English as a second language, those are part of that racket. So the big ESL companies are part of this bribe circle. And then they want to crush the little schools. So they make laws. You can't hire a foreigner unless you can pay him a lot of money, because we've got to be fair to the foreigner and to the Taiwanese. Yeah, right. That's another way of high standards. We want only the best people, which basically means if you're a startup English school, you're not allowed to have an American teaching English in your school. Ha ha. And of course, they've got their long, boring reason why. Well, that means many parts of Taiwan who work on many small little moms and pops English schools aren't allowed to help their students. That's all many English students can afford. That's all a lot of Taiwanese parents can only afford to send their kids to a local school like that. So it's too small, or it's a franchise, but it's in a small area. They have low business volume. They're not big enough as a franchise in order to qualify to have an American teach them. Okay. So if you're an American who wants to help those cities and those areas learn English, you're under discrimination just like them. The only difference is for them, it means their English scores aren't as good. They don't understand English as well. They don't learn it as well. For the foreigner, it means that working is illegal. And you're an illegal worker. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Right. So I've tried to stick it out legally in those areas. And for that, my life is terrible. And my life basically has the hardship story of a rapper. That whole complicated wheel, all those complicated wheels going on, that is systemic poverty. And it also hurts the Taiwanese because they need English because the world is going international. They need English to understand, you know, to talk about business, to do business negotiations, to try to get customers, manufacturing society, all that stuff. English is a franco-lingual. A lot of people in Europe speak English. If you want to travel, you need to know some English. It really helps. So it hurts our own people. And none of the Taiwanese know the reason that Americans don't teach English in their schools isn't because the Americans don't like their city. They believe that the Americans, the British, the Australians, you know, the English speakers, the ESL teachers, they believe that the English speakers don't come to their city because they don't like their city. They go to the big city, to Taipei and to Kaohsiung, or Kaohsiung, it's a K. But it's pronounced like a G. Again, that was from Taiwan's dumberment. They're using the wrong English letters. They're total English deprivation. Yeah, Taipei should have a B instead of a P in it, by the way, just so you know. But because okay, I'm not going to get started on the phonetics and the craziness of that. But a lot of the people in these small communities, they think that the foreigners would be like the Americans, don't come to their cities to teach and their villages to teach English because they want the big city. It's not true. They don't go there because the government made it illegal because of their money laundering racket. And it hurts their own people. Now, that's systemic poverty in Taiwan. And being on the inside of that helped me see and understand what's going on today with the fallout, after the fallout got cleaned up, after that fallout got cleaned up, after that fallout got cleaned up, and the fallout of today between blacks and whites in America. It's not the same as it was before. Things are a whole lot better. Oh my goodness. But there's always injustice going on. Always. I mean, I think about it. Marshall Mathers, Eminem, was a victim of racism because white guys can't rap, right? Okay. I'm not pointing fingers or blaming or crying or anything. It's just, it keeps going round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And Marshall gets big. Well, now what's going to happen next? White rappers dominate and then black guys are back on the bottom again. You know, what's it going to be next decade? We don't know. Every new day, systems like this, invisible wheels spinning here, there, everywhere else, and nobody sees it. You got to see the whole machine working, and it crushes people, and that's what systemic poverty is. And thanks to Taiwan, I understand American black people. Maybe we can make the world better. I'm going to have to talk about India and Vietnam tomorrow. See you then.